and each pair of shoes will be accompanied by a small American flag. The memorial, which will stand from September 10th through September 16th, is being sponsored by Star 991 FM, a Christian radio station that has been on the airways since 1931, said Scott Taylor, the station's general manager. It's the third time in the past 15 years that the station has staged the temporary memorial, he said. And Taylor said that the station felt 15 years was a milestone. We just want to recognize the brevity of life, he said. Our listeners remember well that day and the sacrifices of the many who rushed to Ground Zero and the people we lost. People sometimes question the role of God in their lives, but we have to rely on Him in the most difficult of times. We lost so many people connected to the radio station and our church in some form, including Todd Beamer, who yelled, "Let's roll," when he led a group that stormed the cockpit on Flight 93 that went down in Pennsylvania. We never want to let our guard down. It seems we forget so quickly. We used to have a prayer and everything to remember 911. Taylor said the station was reached its goal of collecting 2,996 pairs of shoes. The shoe collection started on July 4th. The memorial will be unveiled at 10 a.m. on September 10th during a solemn and reflection ceremony. Gene and Louis Santum of Ringo's collected more than 200 pairs of shoes. The memorial just touched my heart, said Gene Santum, a realtor from Wydell Real Estate's Hopewell Valley office in Pennington. We knew people who got killed in 9/11. We should never forget. I remembered when it first happened, everybody was hanging flags, and now we don't see that as much. I think it's an awesome thing that we're doing. Taylor said, "I want to keep the conversation going," said Taylor. "We must never forget." I can't emphasize that enough, and she's exactly right. It was a big group, a big coming together by our neighbors and our communities in our states. We all went out and solemnly reflected on our lives and the lives of the people. And now we've just kind of another day. It's a day of service, but people don't really put that much emphasis on it, not everybody. And so it takes these types of things to kind of wake us up again to the fact that life is so precious, and we did, in fact, lose so many people in that tragedy. And so that radio station and that group, thank you very much, and that's why that is Vitamin C for today.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
We can turn our burden of grief to a gift of grace, because our children may not fully understand the horror of it all, but they can admire the heroism. That is how all of them and all of us can mark this anniversary.
House Speaker Paul Ryan is part of the 9/11 memorials taking place in the Capitol today. Ryan said it's very important for those of us that have lived through 9/11 to tell the younger generations who didn't the importance of that day. Donald Trump making national security a key focus of his campaign. Campaign manager Kellyanne Conway on CBS This Morning.
President Trump and Vice President Pence aren't messing around with anybody who's trying to threaten our lives.
Defense Secretary Ash Carter sounding off on the nuclear test in North Korea.
This nuclear test constitutes a direct challenge to the entire international community.
President Obama said he'll call for more sanctions against the North Koreans. USA Radio News.
Hello, I'm Eric, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is Hillsdale President Larry Arn on progressivism's appeal and danger.
Progressivism has been powerful for two kinds of reasons. First of all, its promise is a very high promise. It claims that it can put everything right. And the second thing is, it draws on modern science for a lot of its authority, and modern science is very powerful. Modern science cured polio. Modern science put a man on the moon. The question is, what do you do with the power? If you give absolute power or excessive power to a bunch of people, over time, they're very likely to abuse it. Remember, the richest country in the history of man in peacetime has assembled a debt larger than any in history. And it is getting to the place now where it's not going to be able to afford to go on.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket constitution and declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
The new movie based on the Miracle on the Hudson in movie theaters today. Captain Sully Sullenberger appeared on The Late Show last night.
It was a day like 10,000 other days until it wasn't. 100 seconds after takeoff, we encountered a flock of geese that disabled both engines. And from that point until we had landed with 208 seconds, my first officer, Jeff Skiles, and I did something we'd never done before. Got it right the first time, fortunately.
NASA launching a very important mission. This is Mike Curie of NASA.
This is NASA's first mission to take a sample from an asteroid and return it to Earth. The OSIRIS-REx mission will help scientists investigate how planets form, as well as improve our understanding of asteroids that could maybe one day impact Earth.
A new trial has been ordered in the Rutgers University webcam spy case. A New Jersey appeals court ruled that Darun Ravi, the former Rutgers student convicted of spying on his roommate, should never have been charged with a bias crime. Robbie exposed his roommate as being gay through webcam video. His roommate then committed suicide. USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today. The daily links at USSportsPages.com.
Long Island on Sunday preparing for the largest of the 9/11 memorials this weekend. Here's Lisa G with more.
Kerry Kiefer Viverito, whose 25-year-old brother Michael Kiefer was killed in the terrorist attacks, will be speaking in his honor in Point Lookout.
Each anniversary that comes up, it gets harder because it's just more time without Michael, more time to think about how our lives have changed.
On Sunday, the town will be unveiling a large rendering of a permanent 9/11 monument planned for Point Lookout Town Park. Lisa G., New York.
Well, it sounds like something you'd see out of a movie, a bit of road rage involving a motorcyclist and a car owner and a sledgehammer. And it just, here's the whole story from Jason Campadonia.
Dash cam video shows a motorcycle rider walking up to a car with his helmet in hand on a busy street in Vernon. The biker starts talking to the driver of the car, but apparently things didn't go well. The guy takes his helmet and completely smashes the back window of the car before running over to his bike. The driver pops the trunk and grabs what looks like a small sledgehammer, tries to go after the biker, but he narrowly misses. Police say they've identified one person involved and are searching for the other. Jason Campadonia, Los Angeles.
A new Miss America going to be crowned this weekend in Atlantic City. Miss Michigan, Miss Tennessee, and Miss Arkansas won preliminary talent rounds. Miss Ohio, Miss Maryland, and Miss D.C. won preliminary swimsuits. USA Radio News, I'm Jason Wirt.
Good afternoon, Hunterdon County. This is Bill Wolfson with the Sports Guys, and it's 5 o'clock somewhere, and that somewhere is right here, Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Internet Radio. You know, we've got Pat Smith down the shore today, so she's not going to be with us. We're waiting for our usual apparition of John Manfreda, and this is a weekend where football finally gets going. But before we talk football and before we talk baseball or other sports, I want to talk about something of a little bit of a personal nature. Approximately 10 days ago, my nephew, Aaron Laird, passed away at 35. Aaron was a lupus victim. He had suffered a very bad stroke and was wheelchair-bound for the last 14 years. Aaron showed a lot of spirit, never got down, no matter how difficult his life was. But unfortunately, the complications of this terrible disease and his stroke caught up with him, and he passed away 10 days ago, and we all said goodbye to him about a week ago. With that sad note having been passed, it is the Sports Guys. We're here to have a little fun, talk sports, and good afternoon, John Manfreda.
Good afternoon, Bill Wolfson. It's a wonderful day. You know, it's like Christmas weekend, you know. It's the start of the NFL season, and the excitement's in the air. Everybody's a Super Bowl contender. Nobody has a losing record. No stars have been.
Except for Carolina.
This correct. I stand corrected. The Panthers lost last night. So it's another season of great optimism. And the country has embraced it and ready to go.
But, John, you know, you're in a funny, funny position today. You actually have to say thank you to the New York Yankees for taking three out from the Blue Jays and letting your Red Sox sneak into first place.
As I texted to you the other night, you're exactly correct. Thank you very much to the Yanks as they took it to Toronto. Hopefully they beat them up enough so that the Red Sox, who are in Toronto and will be facing off in exactly 2 hours
right.
with the Blue Jays.
It should be an interesting series with the Blue Jays
yep,
and the Red
yep.
Sox.
One game separation. Red Sox have a one-game lead. Baltimore is only two behind. And the Yankees, the surprising young Yankees, four games behind. It's because Baltimore, Toronto, and Boston over the past 2 months have just beat each other up and just gone up and down and given the Yankees the opportunity to hang around.
It's almost been like cannibalism, hasn't it?
Well, in some sense, yeah. It's
maybe
it's gonna be the last team standing, literally. And I think, you know, while I think it would exceed everyone's wildest expectations for the Yankees to get in, and, you know, all they have to do is be the third best team. That's all you have to do.
Remember, the Yankees are two out of a wild card spot now, and Toronto one game up. Boston's in first place. I forget who the next wild card team is.
Baltimore.
Yeah. Baltimore is hanging in there with Toronto. And the Orioles, their hitting has kept them there.
Yep, absolutely.
They've got one or two really stellar relief pitchers. Beyond that, Baltimore just doesn't seem like they've got the juice to get to the finish line.
Yeah, the starting rotation there of the four teams probably is the weakest. But, you know, also, Bill, you never know if a team like Detroit or Kansas City is going to sneak up on these AL East guys.
Oh, that's true.
You know, everybody's thinking that the top three teams in the AL East will make it. I think certainly the top two. But that second wild card could easily come out of the Central Division.
And remember, Kansas City won all the marbles with the World Series
correct.
Last year when they beat the Mets. What was it, 4-1?
Exactly correct. They were a wild card team.
That's right. And, you know, the Mets are still a wild card team this year, even though they ran away with it last year.
Well, the problem is that of the great four, or three of the four are down. You know, they really, you know, the prospects for them having strong pitching down the stretch are not very good. Now, Mats is out
certainly
as
not.
Well. So I think if they make it in, Bill, it will be very fortuitous.
I think so. I'm hopeful that the Mets get in. I'm hopeful that the Yanks get in.
I'll bet in Vegas right now, probably both of those teams have about 1 in 25 shots to get in. Would just be a wild guess. I haven't checked it. The odds on both the Yankees and the Mets getting into the playoffs, not only winning anything, but just getting in, right now are probably 1 in 500. For both of them to get in, because they both have remote chances. So if you made a parlay bet that the Yankees and the Mets would both qualify as playoff teams, it's probably one in a couple hundred.
That's true. That's probably true. I haven't even looked at the odds. I am not much of a gambler, as you know, but I'm always kind of interested because, as you know, I like math, and as you know, I like when people try to figure out odds, and I'm very interested in the psychology that goes behind a lot of gambling.
And there is a great deal of that. You're right, because the odds themselves, and as you say, the mathematics is interesting enough. Then you've got the legal angle in some of that, which you and I do on a daily basis.
Right.
But beyond that, you're right, there is that psychology to the betting public. And really, if you're in Vegas in a sports book, and you look at the board, and you look at the certain teams, okay, the Yankees, the Mets, the Red Sox, and the Dodgers will always have horrible odds because they're the most popular teams.
That's right.
And people are going to bet. They know that somebody out in Vegas from New York is going to – they want to be able to say, oh, I put $100 on the Yankees to win. The Yankees, maybe they got 8-1 odds, and the Yankees are probably more like 18-1. But they don't have to give you 8. Remember – there's nothing sacred. What you just said about the psychology is exactly correct, Bill. There's nothing in the fine print that says they have to give you the right odds.
That's
right. Who is it who said there's a sucker born every minute?
P.T. Barnum.
Or W.C. Fields, whatever. Okay.
No, it was Barnum. W.C. Fields said, on the whole, I'd rather be in Philadelphia.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we know how far that got him. But in any event, you're exactly correct. And my point being that the powers in being there, if you were to compute those four teams I just mentioned, say, well, they're 15-1 odds to win anything.
Right.
Let's post it at 8-1. And you know what? 90% of the people who are interested will take those odds. So why give the public 18-1 when you can get them to bid at 8-1?
Exactly. And remember something. There's always a psychology that a lot of people have. I don't want to bet against my team. And remember, they say, "Oh, I put a big bet on the Yankees to, get into the playoffs or to finish first and surprise everybody." That's an emotional bet.
That's correct.
I remember being a child and being upset, almost to the point of tears, that the Yankees had gotten beaten by the Pittsburgh Pirates in the 1960 World Series. And
of course, this is stuff that you read about on the internet, Bill. You didn't experience these
things. I actually did. I was a 7-year-old child and very upset. My mother looked at me and said, "So if they would have won, what would you have gotten?"
Well, that's the practical parent looking at it, of course.
Okay.
And the answer is, "Mom, I would have had the satisfaction that my team's better than your team."
Well, my mother was a Dodgers fan, so, that was, the bums were something that she did like to read about. However, gambling is an emotional thing, and people will bet their emotions rather than bet their common sense. I mean, which is a better bet? That the New England, that your football team, the New York Giants, who you follow religiously, are going to win the Super Bowl, and even though they might have 50-1 odds, or a team like the Denver Broncos, new quarterback but still a good core.
And you saw it last night, exactly right.
You saw last night that they beat a good Carolina team.
Yep.
They held on, and somebody misses a field goal. Certainly those two teams who I don't follow and I don't really care about, what are they going to do? I mean, it's like Pat Smith, who loves the Green Bay Packers. She'll never bet against her team. So the question is, do you want your team to win or do you want to make money on the bet? And people are very, very emotional about that.
I think you're right, Bill, and it's not about the money. You're exactly correct.
It's more about the excitement of having more
at
stake than just
a
little bit of pride.
In fact, Bill, if you look at some hockey fans, and if you were to look in their offices and you were to look at the collages in their offices of their Stanley Cup championships, you might even find betting slips on their home teams. And not mentioning any names here, but you've been in my office before.
Oh, sure. I'm shocked to hear about gambling going on.
Okay.
But in Claude Rains's voice.
During the Martin Brodeur years, I won a lot of money betting on the New Jersey Devils.
Right.
And that some of those were emotional bets.
Well, yeah, and of course they're emotional bets, but remember, they were also smart bets because there was a 10-year stretch where Martin Brodeur was the difference in every Flyers-Devils game.
Yeah, exactly right.
And every
Flyers-Rangers
game. And the Flyers did not have bad goaltending or bad defense.
No. But you pointed that out. You and I stood in the arena. You pointed that out and said, "John, this too shall pass."
Right.
You know, there's going to be a day when Marty's not going to be there, and you were right. That did come true, and that's why we are where we are right now. But yeah, you and I experienced all of those years.
That's exactly right. And, now the shoe may be on the other foot. The Devils no longer have a genius like Lou Lamoriello, who was really a great GM. They gave up on Ray Shiro, who did a lot of good for the Penguins, but couldn't get them to a Stanley Cup like they won last year.
Yep.
Additionally, you've seen a couple of teams like my Flyers, if not hit bottom, come close to it. Now they're on their way back up with a very surprising.
Well, they drafted well. Not only did they draft well, but they drafted kids who got to the big leagues faster than anticipated.
Exactly.
So the team actually had a playoff run.
Exactly, and they had a good tandem pair of goaltenders.
Yep.
And they would ride the
Which is something for 20 years probably cost them two cups.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, when I think about Michael Lawton letting in Tim Patrick Kane's bullet after he gets around the defenseman, who was one of my favorite defensemen.
Yeah, it was Buckner-esque for those of us who are Red Sox fans. Yeah, that was Buckner-esque.
Exactly, and what happens is that when you get into those situations, especially on your own ice in a Game 6, we all know a Game 6 is almost more dangerous than a Game 7 because anything can happen, particularly for the team that's up.
Right, right. And, that's right.
You know, it just
Game 6 is the toughest game to win.
Exactly, because a Game 7, unless it's tied 3-3 and it becomes what I call the celebrity death match, you are not – You don't know what's going
to happen. It's the toughest team with the 3-2 lead to win.
Exactly.
Because the 2-3 team is putting it all out on the ice. They got nothing. And they, all out on the ice. Anything. Basketball, baseball, hockey. You're laying it all out. And the team that's got the 3-2 lead in Game 6 typically is playing scared.
Exactly. And very honestly, the Flyers played against Washington, went down 4-2.
Great series,
but they were playing with the house's money.
They were playing with house money, and that's one of the reasons they played so well. Bill, let's skip back to, I know we have a break coming up, but let's skip back to the NFL, go over some of the games, and talk about some of the announcements, particularly here in the Northeast. But
let's talk Giants-Cowboys, which is the 4 o'clock game on Sunday, John. And I don't see that Eli Manning's had a very good playoff preseason, and I'm a little concerned that Victor Cruz is not going to be the Victor Cruz of years past.
Yeah, I think you're right on both counts. Hard to know because a lot of teams – with flashy offenses, don't want to show anything in the preseason. And speculation is that they only open half the playbook, and that's why you saw it very vanilla. On the other hand, they continue to struggle with the offensive line, even though they now have 3 or 4 number one draft picks up there, still not getting it done. It's a work in progress. Eli himself is physically good, still considered very sharp. Arm strength is there, but he's got to gel with these receivers. I mean, obviously, we know what Odell Beckham Jr. is, but now they have the second-round pick is another speedster. You got the Cruz factor. The tight end has been almost absent the last couple of years. So the passing game has a long way to go, and that's difficult, Bill, when you don't have a big offensive line that's giving you time.
Well, that to me seems to be the problem. Remember, this is Eli Manning's, 12th, 13th year.
Yeah.
And, he's always been a great quarterback. He's been a steady rock of Gibraltar for the Giants. Good years, bad years, notwithstanding.
Well, if they've had bad years, Bill, it's because he didn't have talent around. I don't think Eli himself, maybe with one or two exceptions, there were a couple of years where we had the plantar fasciitis, had some nagging injuries where you could say he just didn't play well. But 90% of the time he's been out there playing well. He just didn't have guys who could catch the ball or who could run through the line.
Or who could protect him.
Or who could stop somebody on the other side of the ball, which is what happened. Last year, they were ahead in, I think, 11 of their 16 games. 4 of them, they lost in the last 30 seconds. I mean, they couldn't stop anybody. They had the worst defense in the history of the franchise.
They
rectified many of those problems.
And for me, the defensive side of football is always more exciting than the offensive side. I know that sounds a little strange, but I like the idea that the defense has to anticipate, read, and react. And to me, when you have a defensive line or linebackers who are looking at a good offensive line, they've got to trick them and trap them in order to get to the quarterback, force the hurry-ups, try to get the sacks, and also to disrupt the receivers coming off the line while watching for a running back. So to me, the really fascinating thing is the defensive play calling right before the ball is snapped. Now, I recognize sometimes they can't hear each other because the crowd is just so loud and all kinds of other factors, but it is absolutely intriguing to me how people like Revis and some of these other great defensive backs are able to anticipate and disrupt a good offense.
Yeah, and I think you're right when you see the shifting that goes on right before the ball was snapped. There's a lot of communication there. Not all of it is verbal. They're going on instinct, some of these great players, and you'll see movement just prior to the snap, and more often than not, they're where they need to be.
Yeah. How do you think Jason Pierre-Paul is going to be in a comeback season from a really foolish injury?
Yeah, that's a great question and a really random factor for the Giants. I mean, they certainly have brought in some players. They've got a couple of young players from the last couple of drafts who are ready to step up. If JPP is even close to what he was 3 or 4 years ago, they should have a formidable pass rush, Bill. If he's not, it should still be a decent pass rush, but, you know, he could make the difference between a successful and a mediocre season for this team.
Well, what do you think about the free agent signings of Damon Harrison and Olivier Vernon? You think they're going to help?
We all know they overspent. When you are real bad at something and you have to go out and get players, it's a seller's market.
Question about that.
You're going to pay a premium. The good news is that all three of the players were very, very good and really the best available at those positions. Plus, they drafted their first pick was Eli Apple. Imagine that. They now have two Elis on the team. Who would have thunk it? And this kid is a good corner with great fundamental skills. Not flashy, not outstanding, not going to be a Revis, but great fundamental skills. And I think the Giants are going back to basics. Like, let's get a guy with speed, great athleticism, and leaping ability, and anticipation, good instincts. That's what you – corner is the toughest position in all of sports to play, okay? Because you're being asked to run backwards and guarding some of the best athletes in the world and anticipate those moves. And this kid has tremendous fundamental skills. He probably won't make the outstanding pick six, okay? Wait, they don't need that. What they want is a kid who's not going to get burned. Because he's too good of an athlete to get burned.
Well, you have to hope that, because remember, we can run faster going forward than we can backing up. That's just the way the human body is designed. Secondly, when you have a cornerback who has to back up and then turn, he is looking away from the quarterback for that 3 seconds. And that's all the time a really good quarterback with a good arm needs to deliver the ball. And when you've turned away and you don't see the arm motion, because that's what a lot of these guys are taught, what happens is you begin to lose track of where the ball is. And certainly you've got to cover your man, especially if you're in single coverage. And remember, you're dealing with some very, very fast guys. But, you know, I want to get back to the Giant defense. They're going to be facing a rookie quarterback his first game. Dak Prescott is filling in for an injured, banged-up Tony Romo. I think Romo's out, 8 weeks, they said?
Well, 6 to 8. I don't really think it matters, Bill. There is strong speculation that Tony Romo may never take another snap. The poor guy is one hit away from a wheelchair, literally.
That's terrible.
You know, being a Giant fan, of course, I hate the Cowboys. Romo's a guy I always kind of admired. Throws a beautiful ball.
He sure does.
Great tight spiral, smart guy, but great offensive line. But he's just taken quite a few hits and maybe done. In terms of the young kid, he's had an outstanding preseason. We've seen this before, though. And it's going to remain to be seen. You know, the Giants going to throw a lot of looks at this kid. My anticipation is they're going to blitz this kid, which is something the Giants are not known as a blitzing team. They now have much, much more athleticism on the defense, Bill.
Oh,
and to your point before about the excitement, I'm looking for blitzes, doing anything to shake this guy up.
Well, you know, with that in mind, I think we ought to blitz our way to a commercial. John,
absolutely.
What do you think?
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambie's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambie's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pambie's Purely Delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi and Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
There are no more decent, devoted, or selfless people than our Christian brothers and sisters here in the United States. True, so true.
Donald Trump at the Value Voters Summit in Washington vowing to aggressively protect and defend America's Christian heritage. Trump accused the news media of undermining the nation's Christian heritage. He promised to vigorously defend religious liberty. Trump also argued faith will help heal a deeply divided nation. On the heels of a federal judge refusing to block the construction of a pipeline in North Dakota, the Obama administration stepping in to block it, blocking construction after a statement from the Departments of Justice, Interior, and the U.S. Army. And on the eve of the 9/11 15th anniversary, NYPD Chief Bill Bratton praised the heroism of NYPD officers.
We saw that when firefighters and police ran into the danger, when they ran into those two towers.
USA Radio News.
Hello, I'm Tirza, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is Hillsdale President Larry Arnn on the basis of the rights our founders fought for in the Revolution and secured in the Constitution.
The American Republic's meaning and proper method of operation is to be found in two documents, in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. That's about 5,000 words of text. That's not very much. They're simple, they're beautiful, they can be understood and be retained. A human being is a certain kind of thing and requires to be treated in a certain way. Human being is a thing that has rights, and those rights are inalienable according to the Declaration. You've got to respect them. And it also follows that given the kind of thing a human being is, government needs to be organized in certain ways. And I think that that is the argument of the American Revolution.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket Constitution and Declaration, go to ConstitutionMinute.com.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
There are no more decent, devoted, or selfless people than our Christian brothers and sisters here in the United States. True, so true.
Donald Trump at the Value Voters Summit in Washington vowing to aggressively protect and defend America's Christian heritage. Trump accused the news media of undermining the nation's Christian heritage. He promised to vigorously defend religious liberty. Trump also argued faith will help heal a deeply divided nation. On the heels of a federal judge refusing to block the construction of a pipeline in North Dakota, the Obama administration stepping in to block it, blocking construction after a statement from the Departments of Justice, Interior, and the U.S. Army. And on the eve of the 9/11 15th anniversary, NYPD Chief Bill Bratton praised the heroism of NYPD officers.
We saw that when firefighters and police ran into the danger, when they ran into those two towers.
USA Radio News.
Hello, I'm Tirza, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is Hillsdale President Larry Arnn on the basis of the rights our founders fought for in the Revolution and secured in the Constitution.
The American Republic's meaning and proper method of operation is to be found in two documents, in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. That's about 5,000 words of text. That's not very much. They're simple, they're beautiful, they can be understood and be retained. A human being is a certain kind of thing and requires to be treated in a certain way. Human being is a thing that has rights, and those rights are inalienable according to the Declaration. You've got to respect them. And it also follows that given the kind of thing a human being is, government needs to be organized in certain ways. And I think that that is the argument of the American Revolution.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket Constitution and Declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
Well, so much for your Constitution Minute and the news. We've also heard from one of our political candidates for president. So let's talk about the weather. It is going to be very, very, very hot and
speaking
very humid.
Unpredictable things. Let's talk about the weather.
Okay. Well, the midsummer pattern is going to continue through Saturday. We've got a heat alert until about 7 o'clock Saturday night. Be careful outdoors, because it's going to be up into the mid-90s tomorrow, and we are going to be dealing with a tremendous amount of heat and humidity here in Hunterdon County. That's also going to be statewide, so be very, very careful. A heat advisory, folks, means that hot temperatures are expected, and between the heat and the humidity, heat illnesses can occur. Drink plenty of fluids, stay in air-conditioned rooms, stay out of the sun, and check up on your friends and neighbors. If you're going to work outside, as I was hoping to do Saturday morning, try to do it in the early morning or the evening and wear light, loose-fitting clothes, well, if possible, and drink plenty of water. So be very careful out there because the heat is going to be a killer. Right now we're back to the sports guys at 537 here in beautiful downtown Flemington, New Jersey, the pride of Hunterdon County. With me is John Manfreda. John, we've been talking Giants. I think
let's switch to the Eagles for a little bit. I want to get a couple of comments from you regarding what's coming up just in the next couple of days. You know, Bill, they've really put themselves, and I know they didn't create it, but it's amazing how fate is. So let's just reconstruct that for a moment.
Well, remember, the Eagles were betting pretty heavily on Sam Bradford and his two bad knees, and then they decided when they traded up to the ability to draft Carson Wentz, what happened was Bradford decided he was not happy and he wanted out. Eventually, Pedrick smoothed it over with him, and the Eagles looked like they were dead set on keeping him around. Now, with Minnesota's quarterback Bridgewater going down and the Eagles having a chance to really improve their position in next year's draft, they said, fine, let's bet the house on Carson Wentz. Let's get some more draft.
Well, that's even more so than that, Bill. The drama builds because the team they traded with to get the second overall pick is none other than the Cleveland Browns. Yes, most young people have never heard of the Cleveland Browns, and that's because they won a couple of championships in the 50s. They won the NFL title in 1965 behind Jim Brown, and they haven't done anything in 51 years. You know, the only team with a longer drive run is the Eagles, who won in 1960.
Well, remember something. Eagles have never won a real Super Bowl. But, you know, Sam Bradford's waking up Sunday morning where he's the quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings.
You couldn't be happier if you're Sam Bradford. You got a big package, big contract, lots of money, and you're going to a Super Bowl contending team. But more to the drama in Lincoln Financial Field.
Oh,
do the setting here. The Eagles are playing the team who traded the second overall pick because, as they said immediately following the trade, we don't think either of these two quarterbacks, meaning Goff or Wentz, are franchise quarterbacks. We think they're good young players, but not commensurate with a first or second overall pick. We just don't buy it. Now, fast forward, you know, 4 months, 5 months later, the opening day quarterback against the Cleveland Browns
is Carson Wentz.
Now, do you think this guy's motivated going against the team that traded the pick that everybody knew was going to be Carson Wentz, and then in the wake of the trade said, we didn't think he was good enough to go number two? How motivated do you think Carson Wentz is?
I think Carson Wentz is going to be motivated to win regardless of what Cleveland did or didn't do. I think Carson Wentz is the kind of guy, the kind of character guy, who is probably going to say, I just want to win. I just want to help my team. I don't need any extra motivation. And look who his opponent is going to be on the other side of the ball. It's going to be Robert Griffin, number three, who is now the Cleveland quarterback. So you've got somebody with something to prove, which is that he is a big leaguer. He is an NFL quarterback. And you got a young guy who is got some decent receivers to throw to. He's got a much better offensive line than they had last year, and who may very well deliver a beautiful ball now and then. And I'm looking for the Eagles to come out 17-14. I think the Eagles' defense.
I think they should win the game, because defensively I think the Eagles are a much, much better team than the Cleveland Browns, certainly on the defensive side of the ball. On the offensive side of the ball, I think the Eagles are going to struggle. They got a young guy. He throws the ball well, big, strong, tall guy, but he's still learning. It's a work in progress. Nobody steps in, especially from a Division II school, and only played in what, 16 games or something in college. The kid just hasn't played that much. Now that's the good thing. There's not a lot of wear and tear on him. And that was the big problem, like when they drafted Matt Barkley.
Right.
Okay? Barkley came to them starting all those games for USC, including a shoulder injury, and then he never made it in the NFL.
That's right.
Well, Wentz comes in. Of course, he sustains a rib injury in his first action, but ribs heal. I think what you're looking at here, Bill, is a situation where the Eagles' defense has to steal this game.
Well, that may very well be, and the Eagles' defense is strong enough to do it.
Remember, and they're capable of doing it.
They're capable of doing it if they probably are the strongest defense in the NFC East. Now, that's not saying much, but they've had a lot of guys return. They've come back from a number of injuries. They're all healthy. I'm looking for the defense to keep the Eagles in this game and give them a chance to win. And I think the defense might even score a touchdown here.
Well, here I think is the danger for the Eagles. If you're hoping that the defense will basically win the game, means it's going to be close into the fourth quarter. If you're going to be close into the fourth quarter with Robert Griffin III, you got some concerns, because this kid can run, can throw. I think if you're the Eagles, you want to have a 10-point lead going into the fourth quarter. Otherwise, you're at risk. I really believe that. I think if it's close in the fourth quarter, you go with the experienced guy, and they could be in trouble. What the Eagles are going to be looking to do is turn over the Browns and get up one or two scores and then play defense. But if this game is close deep into the second half, Bill, it's gonna be time to worry.
Well, you know, you never That's why they play this game on the field. Remember, the Eagles are at home, a new quarterback. Everyone's going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yep.
When he runs on the field, everyone's going to cheer, and no one's going to really miss Sam Bradford. I never felt Bradford had a fair shot with the Eagles, but remember, he came in under Chip Kelly. He led them to an absolutely terrible 6-10 season. Chip Kelly is gone. He's now with the Niners. As far as I'm concerned, he deserves Kaepernick. The other thing that is up there for the Eagles is the Eagles have a decent core of receivers, but they do have still a bunch of untried running backs, including some rookies. So it's going to be an interesting matchup. Let's turn to the team that puts the fun in dysfunctional, the Bengals at my New York Jets. Remember, we've got a quarterback at Gangrene, Ryan Fitzpatrick, who had the best year of his career last year. But the Jets also played a light schedule. They went 6-10, didn't make the playoffs because of their disaster in Buffalo, where Rex Ryan embarrassed them.
He certainly got revenge.
Totally outcoached Todd Bowles. I don't particularly like the Bengals. I don't think they're a particularly sexy kind of pick to win. But what I do think is that the Jets have a decent bunch of receivers. The Jets are defensively one of the best teams in the NFL. The Jets have Darrelle Revis on the back line. He is going to prevent a lot of scores, and nobody really understands what kind of a player A.J. Green of the Bengals is going to turn out to be. I'm not really crazy about the Bengals. I think the game's a toss-up, but I'm hoping the Jets come out of it probably 24-21.
Well, the Bengals have a lot of talent. Their problem has been in the playoffs where they haven't been able to win. Regular season, though, the last couple of years, they've done very well. They're a good road team. A.J. Green is one of the top receivers. They're solid at running back, offensive line quarterback. The defense is decent. I mean, I'm not sure what the line is, but I think the Jets go into this game as a home underdog, do they not? Isn't it 3 points?
Basically, you're really close. The Jets go in as a 2.5-point underdog.
Okay, yeah, basically a field goal, and it may wind up being a field goal game. But, you know, Fitzpatrick is a bit of a random element. He had a very good year last year. You're right, light schedule. I mean, I like Fitzpatrick. I think he's a great character, a great story. I think he throws a nice ball. He just doesn't have super arm strength. The Jets want to be conservative, run the ball. They do have, you're right, some very good receivers. And Fitz can get him the ball. I think the Jets want to get a couple points, play defense, and they certainly don't want a shootout with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, that's definitely the case. You know, the other game that interests me, and I'll tell you why in a minute, is the Steelers at Washington. I'm not a
very interesting game.
Yeah, but remember something. You know, Steelers have a proven quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger. Some good wide receivers, an excellent running back, a defense that gets better and better every day. And Pittsburgh could even be getting into the playoffs. Now, Washington made the playoffs last year almost by default. I'm not a Kirk Cousins fan, but he was good. But I think Washington, being the home team, you have to favor him by 3. What do you think?
This game is in Washington?
It is in Washington.
I to me, it's a pick'em game. I think the Steelers are that strong. Roethlisberger's healthy. Defensively, they're solid. Washington's an explosive team. They've got DeSean Jackson, Garcon. They probably have the best pair. If you looked at 3 receivers deep, I think next to the Giants, they might have the best group of 3 receivers in the league. And Cousins can throw the ball. Look, I know everybody's saying, okay, show me he can do it again. He had one good year last year, and they had a light schedule. Show me he can do it again. Well, we're going to see that right out of the chute, Bill. I mean, Pittsburgh is a preseason favorite to go to the AFC Championship game. They're going to be tested. I to me, it's a pick'em game. It wouldn't shock me to see either team win. Of course, I'm going in hoping the Steelers will beat the Redskins, an NFC East rival for you and me.
Well, let's hope so. I mean, I'm a Steelers fan, and I'm certainly not a Washington fan. I grew up rooting against whoever Washington played. I never liked Joe Gibbs. I never liked Joe Theismann. I always thought they were the bad guys. They were the guys in the
Hogs and all of that stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah. And I never really understood why people became Redskin fans, because it looked like Washington was a place where everybody was from someplace else, because it's the capital.
Of course.
You're elected to be there or work in government to be there.
Of course.
So you always go there for someone else.
And also the negative karma of Washington and the politics kind of rubs off on the team a little bit. Plus the logo, the team insignia, you know, that has a bit of a negative karma to it as well. Although, ironically, most American Indian groups support the Redskins.
Well, I can't see why they wouldn't. They're a certain amount of pride. I mean, you know, if you're Jewish, maybe you want the team. You root for a team called the Maccabees. What's wrong with that? I don't think of Redskins as a pejorative term. And you know, sometimes you just have to stop being politically correct and enjoy the tradition of a name. You know, Packers. Well, okay, they were meat packers,
right?
You know, nobody seems to have a problem like that. But, you know, the NFL, brilliantly successful league that it is, certainly has its ugly side. Look at how they've been hiding the concussion issue for so many years. The NFL also, I think, tends to pander to whatever group gives it a hard time.
Gives it a lot of money.
or gives them a lot of money. And remember, as fans, we don't matter. What matters is the great glass eye of television exposure. And if the NFL could figure out how to hold their games anonymously without us going there and paying $12 for a watery light beer, they would do it.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right, Bill. I think from a marketing perspective, they know they have a superior product. They have, in fact, the best product in the world. They're the most successful of any business. And, I mean, look how they handled the domestic violence problems in the league, the drug problems, the concussion problem. It's all out there. And they've got an apologist in Roger Goodell, who, as you and I know, was chief legal counsel to the league for the past two decades before he became commissioner. So that is his MO. The league basically says, we don't care. We're the best. People are going to watch no matter what. So let's move on. And they've been getting away with that. And they do have a superior product. I mean, from now until next February when the Super Bowl takes place, I mean, it's the most important thing to the majority of dollar-paying sports fans in this country.
Oh, yeah. And even if they're not paying dollars by going to a stadium, they're paying dollars for it on cable TV.
Cable TV, they're buying the jerseys, all of the memorabilia. I mean, it's the great American pastime now, has been for probably 10, 15 years surpassed baseball. Well, baseball killed itself with the strikes. The American public could not accept those strikes. Football had a couple of lockouts too, but I think that it hurt baseball more than it did football. Having said all that, the games are about to start. They're great. You got 16 wars happening, and the game is so complex. You have just the sportsmanship issues, the psychological issues, the rival games, the legal issues, which you and I are, you know, involved with every day. And you can't duplicate that, Bill.
Oh, no. And remember, it becomes very, very compelling starting right after Tuesday or Wednesday. You begin to look forward to Sunday and
or a Thursday night.
Yeah, Monday and Tuesday you're just recovering from what happened. Wednesday is kind of a what's the injury list. Thursday is, oh wow, what time are the Giants on?
And it might be, you know, and am I going to be able to watch the 8:30 game without anybody bothering me?
Right, Thursday night football, exactly correct.
Exactly, and you know, Friday, well, okay, you know, Friday we'll dissect.
Well, football Friday, dissect
and,
everything.
And Saturday, well, maybe there's a couple college games to watch, but everybody is ready by 10 a.m. Sunday. You're absolutely ready to party.
That's correct. So, Bill, we wish you a great weekend. And to all our fans out there, enjoy the games. And hopefully, God willing, we'll be here next Friday with Pat Schmitz, she of the Green Bay Packer cadre, to analyze week one in the NFL. And you know, don't forget, you have some great baseball this weekend, Red Sox, Blue Jays, which is the series of the year.
And, and you've got Yankees
with something to play for.
With something to play for against the Tampa Bay Rays, so they could actually make up.
Yeah, I mean, they got four games with the Rays. They just won last night in thrilling fashion. Presumably, they'll take two out of the next three.
And they could wake up.
And move up. Monday morning, they could be in a wild card.
Monday night, they got the Dodgers in from the West Coast. The Dodgers are leading the National League West by about five games. So the Dodgers have something to play for. And, you know, this is a good test for all those young Yankee players because – once again, I think the young teams that manage to get where they are, they're playing with the bank's money. And my hat is really off to Joe Girardi.
I was going to say, Bill, exactly right. It wouldn't be
manager of the year.
Wouldn't be right if we didn't say, I mean, you know, I'm no Yankee fan. Although Girardi was a guy I couldn't hate. He's just such a good all-American guy. And I remember when they got him, solid player. He knew Posada was on his way. Posada comes in, takes his job, and he handles it in a professional way, comes back to become Posada's manager someday. Exactly. Comes back, actually wins him a championship, although that's a championship that the Steinbrenners bought in 2009. But having said that, the guy has worked a miracle. He's great with young players. He's just a great young guy. For a Yankee, he's a great guy.
He also handled the A-Rod situation very well.
Extremely well, politically correct, practical.
Kept it under control, never let it get out of hand.
And the Yankees are 21-13 since they released A-Rod.
And you know, there's a lot to be said for wishing Alex Rodriguez well. Let him be an ambassador and a coach or bad example, whatever you want.
Bill, please, let's not go there. I that was just all political correct. That press conference, please, let's... That is just a way of goodbye, so long, don't let the door hit you, boom, you know? Now they're 21-13, young kids, the catcher of the future maybe, you know, looking good. The big problem the Yankees have is the same problem everybody's got is good young pitching. So that we'll see what happens with that in spring training.
Meanwhile, John, what's your take on the Mets signing Tim Hayes?
Oh, my God, future star, and they paid him a whole $100,000 signing bonus. Look, that's just to get some headlines. Frankly, it's amateurish, foolish, and the Mets look silly.
Well, since when do the Mets not look silly with some of
this? This is a good point.
You know, Sandy Alderson is a great manager. He's done very well with what injuries he's had to cope with. When he lost R.A. Dickey, the team would sink. He's had a number of
But they got Thor in return. I mean, that was a great move.
I thought R.A. Dickey was really the heart and soul of the team with the way he threw at.
Yep, I mean Toronto certainly regrets that move now.
Oh, sure, he hasn't had a good year with Toronto. And the other interesting thing that we all have to look forward to, and we can talk about it now, is some of our sports guys' trips. We're talking the sports guys going to Temple University's last home game in the end of November when they play the Cincinnati Bearcats on the 26th of November, as long as that's not Thanksgiving weekend. The second thing, we're going to have a couple of sports guys' trips to the Lehigh Valley Phantoms during the second, third, or fourth Saturdays in February. We've got a great restaurant picked out. I've already been in touch with them.
And that trip, we've already done that first dry run of that trip and had a great time. Some of us even got to ride the Zamboni, Bill.
You bet. And I was on the front page of the Chamber of Commerce's newsletter waving to everybody from the Zamboni. But I'm going to give my position on the Zamboni to somebody else this coming
season. We're going to have to have a contest
to have a raffle of some type.
Who's going to ride? Who from the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce will ride the Zamboni?
Yeah. It's a little bit like riding the Wild Lightning or one of the roller coasters at Dorney Park. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you almost fell off that a couple of times when they were making the turn around the goal. You looked like you were going to slip off there.
Well, I'm not as agile as I used to be, and, you can't feed me all those beers and expect me to ride the Zamboni like a champ.
Well, we'll see how that works out. We're all looking forward to that. It's going to be a great year. And once again, to everyone, enjoy the weekend. As much as we say get up off that couch, enjoy the games.
It's going to be awful hot Saturday. It might be a good day to stay inside, watch the Yankees and Tampa and the Red Sox and Toronto and a lot of college.
Both games, football. I think, 1 o'clock on Saturday, right in the heat of the day, probably a smart thing to do.
And by the way, congratulations to Pat Smith's Wisconsin football team. They beat LSU.
Yep, big win. Huge win
for them.
For that program.
I think people at LSU are just very, very unhappy right now. And
sure,
that I'll rewind in a moment.
But folks, you also getting a restaurant.
Get up off that couch, folks, and enjoy
months.
The weekend.
I'm learning that you're also about the community and getting involved in the community. So I don't know where you're finding the free time, by the way. But tell us